podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Red Tinted Glasses here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel or on audio if you're tuning in that way. First of all, me and Callum hope that this episode finds you safe and well and a little bit drier after what was a weekend full of stormy weather, Callum, which unfortunately, and probably common sense prevailing, saw the Aberdeen v Dundee game called off. So we don't actually have a game to talk about, Callum.
No, we don't. I mean, it was... why is it always falling on weekends now, these bloody storms? Not first of all, let's get that out of the way. And then all of a sudden, it's just lovely. Very annoying. Didn't get away for the weekend and didn't get to the football. So just did pretty much nothing. Played the new football manager. But if they could get their finger out and sort this out, then that would be class. I don't know who I'm talking about here. God. Sort out the way.
Playing the new football manager, that mean we're going to see new football manager videos on the Callum Wright YouTube channel?
You're goddamn right, you are at some point whenever I get my finger out. So
yeah, so if you are watching on YouTube, head over to Callum's channel and subscribe. That's not even in the script, Callum. That's just how good I am at linking it in for you. Like I said, hopefully you managed to stay safe this weekend. We are putting this episode out on Monday, so if you are tuning in this Monday morning, whether it be in Aberdeen or across the world, we thought we'd give you a bit of a light-hearted look ahead of the week. So on, would that have been Friday afternoon, I put out on the RTG Twitter account, which is at RTG_podcast, what would be your Aberdeen rain-related 11? And there was a lot of creativity, Callum, it has to be said, in the responses, wasn't it?
I was incredibly impressed. More than a couple of them, very, very funny, smart, some of them totally silly. And by the time I got around to even seeing it, all the good ones had been gone. They were all gone. So I had to just really scrape the bottom of the barrel for my suggestions.
Yeah, honestly, see when somebody comes up with a couple of good ones, you're like, damn, why didn't I think of that? And I'm going to shout out Willie McPherson, because Willie, you must not have got a lot of work done on Friday afternoon, because he must have sent me about 30 Aberdeen rain related 11 puns, and I could list them all, but we don't need to fill the podcast out that badly. So what we'll do, Callum, I think it's safe to say, is we'll work our way through the keepers, defenders, midfielders and forwards. Some of these players are before our time, so we might not get their positions fully correct, but if you are still creative minded, why don't you leave your comment below on some of your own Aberdeen rain-related 11s, or tweet us at RTG_podcast, or find the thread and add more to the already creativity included.
Are we making our own team here, Glenn?
Well, we could do. But to be fair, Willie pretty much named me an Aberdeen rain-related 11 and manager out of it. We're going to exempt Willow Flood from the team because he's the most obvious one and an inside source for other Aberdeen podcasts out there. So it feels a bit wrong to include him in the team when there's been a lot of creativity for other positions available. So will we go with the goalkeepers first, Cal?
I think so. I think my personal favourite of the suggestions was Brian Gonna Be Sunny the Warm. I really, really enjoyed. Was your one the Jamie Langfield one, Glenn?
It was, yeah. They had William McPherson straight off the bat there with that Brian Gunn one. He also had Jay Gorter Stop Raining Sometime Soon. But my one was Jamie Langfield's Flooded.
I mean, it's good. It's good stuff. I really tried to get one for like David Priest. My only other one would be like Rain Essen. Was it Ryan Essen? But it's not Dryan Essen. Oh, now we're talking.
Well, a lot of people had ones related to Theo Snelders, about Theo Snorkels and that. But I mean, like you said, a few people were scraping the barrel. If we move on to the defenders, Willie's daughter Niamh was very proud of her effort, so I'll include that for her. She came up with Greg Wet and Wild in there. There's a throwback to a player that many of you will have been quickly keen to forget.
It's good stuff. It's very good stuff. I mean, I think that's probably maybe my favourite. Richie Burns burst for against the show was pretty good. However, there's one you mentioned prior to recording that really tickled me, and it was Jack Gurr, I Hate This Weather. My favourite. he has to be in the team, surely.
Yeah, he has to be. And we need a couple of centre-backs for that team, though. David Winnie has been thrown in there. Would David Winnie go out in that? Or David Windy? And of course, current centre-back you could throw in with Angust MacDonald. And former Don came up here on loan, was it? Zach Viner-Weather on the way. So we're spoiled for choice in there as well.
Let's not forget Wendy Miller and Alex McClash.
Yeah, or Welly Miller, I saw suggested as well.
That's very true, very true. I still think Jack Gurr, I Hate This Weather, is my maybe my all-time favourite. my near fine day Logan, not quite up to par.
No, I mean, that was really poor.
Yeah, oh, I forgot to mention Nicky Wheater in goals as well.
Yeah, like I said, poor.
Yeah, okay. Right, maybe you take over since you don't like my one so much.
No, I still think one of the best ones we saw, I think it was somebody on Twitter said, is it too soon to suggest Jim Babbitt because obviously we're given the Storm name at the weekend, but again, using Jim Bett's name, a lot of replies for Jim Wet.
I mean, it works. It's classic. It's just one word that really needed, one letter that really needed to change. I liked it. Kareem Tsunami is certainly up there. Arguably, you know, sums up the way he played at some points.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess for local, those that live up towards the Turriff Way, Fraser, 5-year-olds closed. Again, that's really a very local one. If you're not up this way, then that'll mean nothing. You could put him alongside Gary Dampsey or Da Rain Young.
Oh my God. I can't believe you left out Scott Severe Rain. Brilliant.
Well, to be fair, I thought I'd leave a good one for you to make it look like you came up with that. Of course, that was another suggestion that came in on Twitter. Mixu Puddalainen as well. That one really tickled me when I saw that on Friday.
The best one that I saw didn't even make the list, and that was Johan Brawley. Brilliant stuff.
And then into the forwards, you could have Helly Hansen Hillhouse.
No, that doesn't make sense. Nah, I was going to say Helly Hansen, Helly Hansen. You know, it's a rain jacket. It's loose.
Still, my favourite, though, for the forwards has to be Martin absolutely bucking it down.
It's good stuff. Rory Fallon Tree. And my best for this was Dairain Dal, which I actually think is maybe the best of my three.
Yeah, that definitely your best of your three. Of course, John Hewitt got a mention a few times with John Hewitt, and Ryan McKenzie, because he asked what he won and I said I'd give him a shout out for the suggestion, was Theo 10 Cat and Dogs. Of course, raining cats and dogs.
Look, I think it's pretty good. I think that may be the best one because it also just keeps his name. I think it works.
Yeah.
Managers, I don't, Dreich McInnes or it's just Ali McLeod.
Well, McLeod because cloud, rain.
Oh, why did you not spell it like cloud?
It was autocorrect on when I was doing the Word document. I guess you could actually put in there Ali McRain Cloud.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, we're really... I think Dreich McInnes has got to take it.
Phil Mayer's ego will be boosted extremely by the fact...
Ali McRain Cloud.
I did also quite like a couple of the suggestions in the strikers as well. David Zdrizelic and Lubomir Blah. Cut that one out. All right, because I cannot think of how to say it.
I'll say it.
I'm going to say another one. And Harold Stavrum, of course, more pronunciation on the har out of that in there. But yeah, some excellent creativity on a weekend saw no Dons game. And I'm sure, Calum, any Pauk fans tuning into the early minutes of this episode will be thinking, what the hell is going on?
They will be so unbelievably confused. And you know, I apologize. And now, if they're even still here at this point, turned it off.
Probably just gone skip to the Pauk content, which we'll get into now, because as we said, no game this weekend, meaning Barry's not got his tired excuse to look out on Thursday night. Although I saw, I think it was Craig Ledingham replied to me on Twitter and said, well, he might just change that to rustiness, given the game didn't go ahead. How much impact do you think the fact that we didn't play this weekend will that have on Thursday? Because Pauk did play today. We're doing this on Sunday evening, this record. They were 2-0 victors over Atromitis at home. And it was Russian midfielder Odziov that scored both goals. And he actually didn't play the last time they travelled to Scotland due to him being a Russian citizen and having visa issues. Although, as you'll hear in our chat with the Pauk fan Manos later on in the show, he believes those visa issues are actually cleared up. So, excellent. He'll be coming to Scotland on Thursday.
Just what we want. man on form. Great news. Yeah. I think there will be a lot of rustiness across the Northeast recently, thanks to the weather, actually, Glenn. However, it is a concern of mine going into this game. I'm trying to think of it more as he's been complaining about them being tired and they've actually had a good break. And that's going to be including players who were away on international duty, of which there were a fair few. It'll be weird because we're going to go perhaps into this game slightly rusty, then into the Kilmarnock game, back to tyres. But I'm hoping that they'll be rested up and throughout this week they will get plenty of time on the training pitch to work towards that Pauk game, and hopefully it won't be affected it too much because he's complained about tiredness and we've not played for a week while now, so it's going to be fine, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm just so glad we had that indoor training pitch at Cormac Park that we could take advantage over the weekend to get a good few training sessions in. I'm sure the ASV served its purpose well this weekend, and I'm sure those that had previously booked the pitch won't be too disappointed to be bumped off for the first team. But look, the weather looks better this week, so I'm sure the team in all seriousness will be getting down to business. We obviously spoke about maybe some potential changes that we could have saw going into that Dundee game. That obviously went out the window. What now in terms of the way we approach this game? The kind of players we'd mentioned was obviously Graham Shinney maybe taking a seat on the bench to start the game. I think going into this game, there's no questions he'll now start the game on Thursday night. But we obviously had question marks around fan favourite of the show, Duke, and whether he starts the game. Does he start this game? Obviously, we look back to Frankfurt away. He didn't start then, but he started at home to Helsinki. What do you expect Paddy Robson to do on that position?
I think it would be, I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's probably the smart thing to do is to go to the sort of Frankfurt away Ibrox setup.
Even though we're at home?
I think so. Pauk are a good side. They're top of the group. They've won six games. They've won two games. They're on 6 points. The only team to have won both games in the group. They drew with Panathinaikos, who are up the top of the Greek table, away from home as well in recent times. I'm really not confident going into this one. It's a game we have to win. Never going to have any sort of chance of qualifying. We've seen that sort of setup and formation work against sides that are on paper better than us. I'm tempted to go with that and then say come 60, 70 minutes, if we're still in the game, if it's level by that point, then you could perhaps see the likes of Duke come off the bench.
I think as well, what we've got to remember is rustiness, you know, to use that word, might be a factor for us, but it could potentially be a factor for Pauk, given the fact that their first game after beating Frankfurt last time out in the Europa Conference League was yesterday. I'm just trying to make this look like we're live when you're listening to this first thing on Monday. So it could potentially be a factor for them, maybe some fitness issues, but you would like to think, again, you know, kind of sounding too much like Steve Tosh at the early part of the season, they're only 8 games into the season now in terms of domestic football, and certainly league anyway, that it shouldn't be too much of a problem, but maybe, you know, just coming back from an international break does potentially affect them slightly. I guess one thing to maybe question is the way we approach the game against Helsinki and maybe what we might have learned or do different. Obviously, you suggested there maybe lining up in terms of the way we faced Frankfurt, but there was maybe a bit of question marks around some of our intensity in that Helsinki game. Certainly, the start of the second half was really poor. And I think certainly what you're going to maybe find in that chat with Manos coming up is we can't afford to be that quiet against a team like Pauk. They'll pick us off and use their pace and movement to much more effect than Helsinki did, which of course HJK won the league this weekend as well. So we're facing a team that's top of the league, or sort of top of our group, and then in a few weeks time we'll be going over to Finland to face the league champions.
We've been really screwed over this draw, haven't we?
It all sounded so positive at the chance, you know, even after getting that draw in Frankfurt, thinking, oh, we've got a chance here, and all quickly unravels after a disappointing draw. And it still feels weird to say that it was a disappointing draw against now what turns out to be the Finnish champions.
It does feel weird, but in that game, we were, maybe harsh to use the word passive, But at times it certainly felt the way we felt like we are. So part of me is hoping we go play with more aggression. We want to use the ball quicker and be maybe slightly more direct, not in terms of just lumping the ball forward, but in terms of playing that with purpose, essentially. However, the difference between the Pauk and Helsinki games is that Pauk are a good side. We saw them turn over Hearts over two legs. They're going to be fighting up the top of that Greek table. It's really tough, and I can't quite decide what way I wanted to go, but I think the more sensible idea would be to start compact, make it very difficult for them, frustrate them, and then perhaps grow into the game, because if it was the other way around and we go hell for leather, we could get picked off and played through very easily, and then the game might be gone.
Yeah, I think the worst thing that we can do on Thursday night is concede in the first 10, 15 minutes, because we're then immediately chasing a game that we need to win, and it could get ugly very quickly for a team that will be quite content to continue their 100% record in this group. But at the same time, you don't want to be too kind of defensive and passive maybe in that opening 10, 15 minutes, because obviously the crowd are going to be right up for it come kickoff. And you don't want to kill that energy coming from the stands. And hopefully we see that energy from all four stands this Thursday, because as we discussed after the Helsinki, it didn't really feel like it was coming from all four stands last time out.
No, it did not. I was very frustrated at the game. I remember that much. Hopefully more of the same from the Dick Donald than there was against St. Johnston. against St. Johnston, if the kids are in there, providing they've fixed the rumoured hole in the Dick Donald by that point, actually.
Well, there already was a hole in that side panel of the RDS, but I wonder how much bigger it's got after the weekend. I'm sure, though, what maybe might help the likes of yourself and the rest of Section S and T in the South Stand is the fact that Pauk, again, spoiler alert for a little bit later on, have sold over 1,000 tickets for the game on Thursday night. I know there's obviously quite a big Greek community here in Scotland, but I think there's still a fair few travelling over from Thessaloniki. So I'm sure they'll be raucous and make a good atmosphere, which maybe will spur a few on in the South Stand as well.
Hopefully. I'm really excited to see what they sort of have to offer in that away end. I think it'll be a good experience. I mean, the Helsinki fans, for the few numbers that they were loud as well, so credit to them. But I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that it sort of brings out more from the South Stand, as you sort of alluded to there. I think it'll be very, very interesting being at the fence.
Yeah, and I think the most glaringly obvious thing to state compared to last time out against HJK is that we have to be more clinical with our opportunities in front of goal, and we have to work our set pieces a lot better if it's long throws or corners. Beat the first man at both, please.
Yeah, just as a bare minimum, which feels like you're asking from professional footballers. But yeah, that's absolutely a bare minimum. That would be nice. But in a game like this, it does feel like maybe it could come down to a set piece, and hopefully that would go our way. However, my confidence on that fact is not massive. But at the same time, I do sort of get the feeling that we're due a big result at Pittodrie in Europe. It's been a while since our last one. In recent times, you know, the draw against Burnley set us up nicely to go down there. The draw against Groningen as well, I suppose. I'm going a little bit further back, of course, Copenhagen, where we thought maybe that kind of thing, we were down and out, we weren't going to have any chance, and then that's happened.
Well, it's a fair point as well, because obviously given the way the results went in game week two with Pauk winning and ourselves drawing, a win on Thursday night does set ourselves up extremely well for, you know, the rest of the group stage campaign. You know, I think we're under no illusion. You just need to look how Hearts struggled in Greece. Obviously, they got that excellent win over Frankfurt as well, a late winner, but a win nonetheless. Obviously, Frankfurt v Helsinki, they'll probably be buzzing off the fact that they're champions. Frankfurt, I think, got their first away win in Germany of 2023 at the weekend. They won 3-1, I saw. I don't actually know where the game is this Thursday, but either way, interesting to see what comes of that result. But a win for Aberdeen would really put ourselves in a position, because I don't think many people are expecting us to go to Greece and win. So if we do go to Greece and are sitting on 4 points, I think we'd be quite content because the way the group's potentially shaping up, and I think we also have to factor in the fact that HJK no longer have any domestic games now, between now and the end of the group stage campaign. So we'll be going to HJK with them only playing Frankfurt twice. We could, in an ideal, my ifs, buts, maybes world, setting up a do or die clash against Frankfurt on the 14th of December.
You are definitely getting your head of yourself right now.
Watching all possible straws.
Hey, we've got to hope. We've got to get carried away. We've got to believe, because if we're realists, then it just won't be as fun. It'll just be more miserable. But a win at Pataudry this week against Pauk could potentially blow this group wide open for us. Mm. It's probably necessary, you would think, you know, if we go across there and to Helsinki as well, only on 1 point, then it's chances are very, very slim, because there's a real possibility that Pauk could end up with 9 points after this, and then Frankfurt are on six, and then both Athens and Helsinki both on one, and it's just very, very difficult from that point. So we need that Pataudry magic. We need a big European night. And maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. I'm trying to hold myself back here, but I really want to get carried away with you.
Let's do this. Let's roll back the years and then you say inspire some Pataudry magic. But look, we're maybe clutching to straws. We're maybe dreaming a little bit, but it's European football. We're allowed to dream. We're allowed to get ahead of ourselves. And look, I'm looking forward to Thursday. I think there's always something special about a European night under the lights, more so now, obviously, with it being the group. And let's hope we can do something. That would be really special, wouldn't it?
That's the dream. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's been a long time since that's something that happened. The biggest one probably in recent times would have been Copenhagen. I was there. I don't really remember it all that much, but this sort of has the feeling that this could kickstart it and maybe something could happen.
Maybe. But I spoke to Manos, who's a Greek journalist, does a lot of work for local radio, but also writes for Pauk.com, which is the biggest Pauk fan website in Greece. And he gave me an insight into the opposition that we face on Thursday and a little bit of information for those traveling to Greece in a few weeks as well. So maybe your excitement and enthusiasm will be enhanced or slightly tailored after this chat, but let's hear what Manos had to say. Manos, welcome to Red Tinted Glasses, and thank you for taking the time to give us an insight into Pauk ahead of the game on Thursday night. Obviously, Pauk are only seven games into the league season so far and have made a strong start, currently sitting third, but also an impressive start to the European competition, defeating both Helsinki and Frankfurt last time out. What are the hopes for Pauk this season, both on the domestic front and in Europe?
Okay, let's start from Europe, because we're in a podcast about Aberdeen, so we have to start from Europe. Yes. The hopes of Pauk is to go at least until the eighth of the UEFA Europa Conference League. Before 2 years, Pauk was there. Against Marseille, he was a bit unlucky, because Payet made this incredible shot and scored. And also at Tumba, Pauk had many chances, but he didn't manage to score. So the goal about Pauk is to qualify from the group and go, if it's possible, first in the round of 16 and then go to round of 8 of the Europe. It's something important for a club like Pauk, because Pauk last year didn't manage to go to Europe because he disqualified from Leicester Sofia in one game in two games who no one understood what happened with how Pauk went outside. But this year, as you can see, and the whole Europe can see, Pauk is very strong. He's one of the unbeaten teams in the European camps till now. And of course, the goal is to qualify. And now, I think he not must have the goal. He must qualify first. Because for me, I like Aberdeen as a club, always. But for me, the favorite in the two games against Aberdeen is Pauk, because of the form of the club, maybe because he's a more expensive club with more quality. And if Pauk takes the two games against Aberdeen, I think then we can talk about the first position.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point, because I think, you know, maybe some of our regular listeners and viewers will disagree that Pauk are favourites for the game on Thursday night, but I would probably tend to agree with yourself, just given the form and obviously last time out, you know, the fact that you fought so well against Frankfurt and got the win late on as well, and probably are in a good position to qualify and maybe even do that at top of the group. But I suppose from our own hopes, if we want to qualify, this is a game that we need to be targeting a win in. So I think it's actually set up really nicely for Thursday night.
Okay, yes, but the Pauk has the advantage for me that already played against the Scottish team, Hearts. The Scottish League is a nice league to see. It's a league with many fights, with many intensity, with many runs. But I think Pauk now has the know-how how to be a good team against a more strong team physically.
We spoke about the start to the domestic league for Pauk, obviously sitting third behind Panathinaikos and Olympiakos just now. Is there a belief over in Greece that Pauk could do something domestically and be up there challenging for the title this season?
Yeah, look, Pauk wants to be low. He doesn't want to go out and shout that, hello, we are going to take the championship, because he made a new team. From the start, many transfers, many players left. Some of the leaders of the team, like Inge Ingason, Douglas Augusto, sold. And Pauk make a new group now. So, as Luchescu said, the coach, step by step, they want to go game by game. But to be honest, for me, Pauk is a very big club with a very rich owner and very good players. And every year, the target must be the domestic championship. And also to win the cup. This is my belief. I don't believe that Pauk can, like Rangers, for example, or Celtic, they can start the league and say, oh, let's see what will happen. They must say, we'll go for the championship.
Yeah. You know, it's good to have that ambition at the start of the season and that belief as well. You mentioned it's a new group of players this season. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of people, as I said, tuning into this podcast, will have only seen yourselves in action against Hearts so far this season. And if you were to tell us that was a new group of players, most of us probably wouldn't believe you, given the kind of quality of performance on show in those games. We saw a few key players in those games against Hearts, Brandon, Tyson, Andrei Zikvic, who scored the winner at Tynecastle as well. Would they be viewed as key players? Because I noticed, was it Brandon didn't even start the game against Eintracht Frankfurt? Or are there other players that we should also be wary of ahead of the game on Thursday?
Of course, for me, there are more key players about Pauk. And I'm going to start from behind and front. One of the most key players, the goalkeeper, Dominik Kotarski, a young Croatian guy who is the future of Croatian goalkeeping. Before some days, Pauk announced that he will renew his contract until 2028. And it's one of the most successful transfers the last 2 years in Greece, not only at Pauk. It's one key player is also Rahman Baba, the left back of Pauk from Ghana. He was playing at Chelsea before some years. He's a left back who is very quick, with extremely high speed, very strong. And he can play against teams like Aberdeen who are physically strong in their game. And of course, as you said, Andrija Živković, one of the leaders of Pauk in the pitch and in the dressing room, one Serbian guy who grew up in academies of Partizan, and he knew what is Pauk from the time he kicked the ball for the first time in his life. as he said in an interview, he wants to close his career at Pauk. Also, one key player, he's not still playing regularly because he's new, is Kirill Despotov. Is the captain of national team of Bulgaria. He has incredible free kicks, incredible finishes, but he has to manage to understand more quick what the coach wants from him. Also, Giannis Kosardelias, it's a young guy who I believe me and Pauk that soon the whole Europe will speak about him. Is the Messi of Balkans. If you want to say it, it's a guy who already Juventus, Barcelona, before some years Chelsea, Atletico Madrid, asked about him. Also, Red Bull wanted him from Red Bull Salzburg, but the price who Pauk asked was too high for them. Pauk wants 20 million for him. And one key player who last year wasn't even in the first team, but now he's a regular, is Konstantinos Kouliarakis, the guy who scored the goal against Frankfurt.
Okay.
He's a child. Now he will be 19 years old. He'll be 20 years old. And now, because Inge Ingerson left, he went to play in Midtjylland, in Denmark, is the leader of the defense of Pauk. Brandon, as you said, was a player. Is a player who's very quick, very good tactically. He's very good at high press. But now, he's not the starter at the position striker. It's Ali Samata, a guy who came from Fenerbahce with a big contract. Because last year, Pauk had a very big problem in the finishing.
There's a lot of quality throughout that team, from what you're saying, a lot of interest from the rest of Europe. And certainly, as I said, from watching more so the second leg over in Greece, you could see some of the quality and certainly pace that the team possess. There's going to be a miss for Pauk on Thursday. Sauliho Maite is suspended. Will he be seen as a miss to the midfield?
Of course, because he came at Pauk not so early. He was a little bit late, this transfer, because Pauk has to see the other options. Benfica is a strong negotiator, as everyone knew. So Pauk has to be patient. When he finds the right time, he go and take him on loan. But what happened against Frankfurt with him and Trapp and everyone else, it was a big group who was fighting. Yeah, he will be a miss because Meite, now he starts fighting himself. Now he starts to realize what Pauk is, what Greek football is. It's not easy for a guy who's playing in Milan and in Benfica to come in Greece and to understand what he's seeing. I think he was like, he was in space. Where I am, what is this? But these European games against Helsinki, against Aberdeen, against Frankfurt, those players motivate them. Because they know Europe are seeing.
Yeah.
Europe is seeing you. He will be a miss, but the good is that Pauk has many options. In the midfield, he has Stefan Schwab, Theoharis Tsigaras, Magomedos Doev, Felipe Soares is injured in sort of the list, of course. He's also Marcos Antonio, a guy who came from Lazio, but he was injured in his muscle. There's some possibilities to be in the squad who will travel in Scotland, but I don't believe now he can play. The only possibility to play is that Pauk win with a huge score and he come for 10 minutes just to understand the grass again. But the good is that because against Hearts, Pauk has a big problem. I don't know if you and your viewers knew this, with Magomedos Doev, because the United Kingdom didn't give him permission to come to Scotland because he's from Russia and he's a Russian citizen and his visa was too late. But after this, Pauk made all the moves for Magomedov's Doev to have his visa in his hands and he can travel with the team now. He will be there, so Pauk can have a quality player because he's a national team of Russia in the position of midfielders.
Yeah, so any hope that I had of you missing a quality player in your midfield has quickly gone away because you have loads of quality to replace that as well. If we look at the weekend action just now, obviously Aberdeen play on Saturday evening. We're at home to Dundee. You travel to Atromitos.
Atromitos travel to
sorry, yes, sorry.
Katuba, yes.
Yeah, sorry, you're at home to them. They haven't won a game this season. 4 draws, I think it is, for them so far this season. You guys haven't played since defeating Frankfurt. Is there a concern maybe that you are a bit going to be maybe not as match sharp, or will this game be kind of viewed differently with the Aberdeen game coming up?
Of course, this will be a riddle about Pauk, because the last 2 years, after the national break, Pauk always has a problem. Pauk can't win after the the national breaks, because last year, for now, okay, we don't have so much image about this. Last year, Pauk has a group of players who are also new, was young, and there are some young players and some old players. So the chemistry was a bit strange, and the team needed more time. Now we have to see how PAOK will react. Of course, against Atlanta, PAOK wants to win, because, as I said, PAOK wants the title in the Greece, but he doesn't say it. And of course, it will be a very good game, the team to be ready to find the rhythm, to be against in high intensities for the game against Aberdeen. Till now, Lucescu didn't make any plans about the starting 11 against Atlantos, because today in afternoon will come the last international players from their national team. So from tomorrow, they can train all together, because today they will make some rest and all this, not exactly training. And from tomorrow, I think Lucescu will have an image who will play against Atlantos and if he will make any rotation for the game of Aberdeen. I think that maybe one, two players will be changed in the two games. Yeah. Because, as you said, we came from the national break and the players have to find again their rhythm, their form. They have to be in the 100%.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Obviously, as I said, we play nearly 24 hours before yourselves. I think in the UK, the game kicks off at 4:30 on Sunday, for those that maybe want to put their notifications on live score or be monitoring how PAOK play. And just wondering if that maybe works in our advantage, because obviously the weather's not great here. We're recording this on Thursday lunchtime. So how much training Aberdeen are maybe going to get, but it maybe helps with a little bit of a rest day on Sunday and a chance for the players to watch what we can see from PAOK on Thursday. One thing that I've kind of noticed from looking at the scores and the timelines of the games, and you just need to look at the European games in particular, is that PAOK will fight to the death. And will not kind of give up as the game maybe wears on into the last 10-15 minutes. They scored quite a lot of goals late on as well. What do you think PAOK's approach will be when they come to Scotland on Thursday? Do you think they will look to sit in early on, or look to kind of start the game with a high intensity and score early?
PAOK in every game, except Frankfurt, I will say, I will explain what I mean, has the same type of football. Okay. Lucescu is a guy who is dying with ideas. He can go with something. He will die with his ideas. So I think that 4-2-3-1, who is the main system, the main formation about PAOK, will be also against Aberdeen. The PAOK wants to have the ball in his position. It's a team who likes to have the ball, who likes to pass fast, but against Frankfurt, PAOK didn't have so much the ball, because he knew that Frankfurt is a team who has a big idea for herself, like the most German teams and the most big teams. So he knew that in the counter-attack, you can fight many spaces.
Okay.
But in the first half, I don't know if you saw it,
no.
PAOK played incredible football. When he took the ball from Frankfurt, he was the main team in the field. He was very good with the overlaps in the wings. And I think that what we will see, we hope to see, to be honest, against Aberdeen is a game like this, who PAOK will go to dominate, because he likes to dominate the games, and he will be the same PAOK who is as always. Okay, of course, against each team, there are some differences from the tactics, how many meters the defense will be up a little bit bad, how the striker will press. He will press in the first ball, he will press after 2-3 meters. Okay, this may be changed, but generally PAOK will be the same PAOK who every of your viewers have seen him, will see the same game. But it's going to be said, PAOK is going till death in the games. He doesn't want to, until the end, he doesn't want to take the game in their fate. It's a team of the coach. Lucescu is an aggressive man, a very kind man, a very kind person, but when he comes to football, he's a very aggressive person, a very clever person, who mostly wants to see his team to fight till death.
Yeah, that the kind of hearing you speak about maybe the style and formation gives me a bit of concern, given Barry Robson likes to play with a back three and use two wing backs, and kind of hearing you speak about the movement and the passing and looking to kind of exploit any spaces and using that pace in behind and counter-attacking football potentially as well, gives me a bit of concern for how we may approach the game on Thursday night. And I wonder if Barry Robson will look to change his formation away from what he's usually done. I guess we'll see maybe some indication of that come the weekend as well. We've mentioned the fact you've played Hearts already this season, and the game at Tynecastle was quite a close affair. I think, you know, you were definitely the better team in terms of quality, but of course Hearts did score two goals against you. One of them was ruled out because of VAR. Do you think the fact that you guys have played Scottish opposition already this season is a benefit coming into this game on Thursday?
Of course, it's a benefit that Aberdeen doesn't have, because PAOK knew how is the Scottish football, because he played against Scottish team, historical Scottish team. They have some benefits. They knew that generally the Scottish league is a league with strong teams who like the strong identities, who like the strong games. They are not so quality teams. They are teams who run, who go strong in the ball, who jump high. The defense are monsters, right? Mm-hmm. And PAOK knows that he must, with his quality, to win this game. And also must, I believe that he must learn the lesson that against Aberdeen must be a most tough team, not a tiki-taka team, only with a ball in his feet. He must be a little bit dead.
Yeah, and is there any way, you know, I'm trying to think some positives here, because you've maybe giving us a lot of fear with the kind of quality that PAOK possess, and, you know, certainly hearing the kind of style of football.
I don't say PAOK is Real Madrid.
Yeah, no. I'm kind of excited to watch you guys play football on Thursday. It sounds like an exciting style to watch, but is there any kind of areas that would give you concern going into Thursday night that Aberdeen could look to exploit?
Yes, because until now we didn't have PAOK again, because we have the national break. PAOK has a big problem. When the opponent has a free kick or a corner, the first post is always unmarked. If you see the goal against Helsinki that PAOK received, if you see goal against Pase Yana, PAOK also received the same goal. It's almost the same. And against Panathinaikos in the derby in Athens, the goals again something like this, but this time Kotarski was made an incredible save. This concerned also Lucescu and his team, and they work much in the free kicks and the corners when PAOK defends. And let's see if we will be the continue of this. If PAOK continues to receive goals and headers and shoots from free kicks, it could be a problem. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, it's a new defensive line, because the only old player is a young guy who was there. He's in the second year in the professional football. Okay. Baba, Ekong, and Ketsiora are new guys. Okay, Ketsiora was also last year, but he was in the bench.
Yeah, hearing you say that the front post is often left unmarked gives me a big fear that it means that we're going to go back to trying to bomb the box with long throws like we did against Helsinki, which unfortunately against Helsinki didn't come off, but you never know. If you keep trying it, it might. How many fans do you expect to make the trip to Scotland? I know there's probably a lot of quite a big Greek community throughout Scotland, because there was a lot of PAOK fans in attendance at Tynecastle, but this game has had a lot more notice period to arrange maybe travel and attend. Do you think there'll be a good following for PAOK on Thursday night?
Yes, the information I have said that PAOK has in his hands 1,000 tickets, 1,000 and something more.
Yeah.
Till now, from what I heard from the PAOK fans, is that it will be sold out. Yeah, so Scotland's a nice trip about football. It's a deep football country, like England. And Aberdeen's a very historical team. Okay, now he's not in the best days, but it's a very historical team. Very good fans, with nice atmosphere. And the it's in all over the world. When the team goes well, the fans will be excited. They will travel everywhere.
Yeah.
Fans, okay, travel everywhere because in Helsinki there are 500 fans in Helsinki who are shouting. I believe it will be a very nice atmosphere in the stadium because I saw also because we have to see for our job the fans of Aberdeen was making nice. That was a very nice choreo with this in the tribune. PAOK are different fans. They are not so much with the choreos. With this, they are more aggressive, with more passion, with the voice. Mm-hmm. And this, I think they will, when they come, you will see them in some time. I don't know the weather to take off their shirts. Yeah. Even if it's cold or not.
Yeah. Well, if it's anything like today, they might be getting kept on. But yeah, no, I think the atmosphere on Thursday night will be special from both sets of fans, especially if, as you say, that they've sold 1,000 tickets. I think the official away end allocation is around about 1,800. So it'll be interesting to see if Aberdeen give you guys a few more hundred to sell.
Take something more, yes.
Yeah, well, that's good to see. And it'll be good to have a good away crowd in as well. You mentioned, obviously, the kind of Aberdeen fans maybe that travel to Greece will get to see the real atmosphere that PAOK fans can offer. What can those that are travelling over at the beginning of November expect from their trip to Thessaloniki?
Okay, they will expect a bit cold, not like Scotland, yeah. But for us will be cold, okay, because we're a Greek country, a country in the Mediterranean, so we have more warm days. They should expect good food, Thessaloniki, very good hospitality, a town who is very beautiful, who is near the sea, mm-hmm. with many museums and many things to do. It's a city who is living at every day, every hour of the day until night, until morning, you can see you have every thing to do. And for Tumba, I think they have to expect a unique football experience because Tumba is not just a stadium. It's a stadium who it maybe is old, but the atmosphere side is something who you can imagine. Okay, you can see the videos, you can hear the everything, but it's something you have to live, to say after the story about Tumba, the living hell.
Mm.
I remember now, because the Frankfurt journalist fans, even the coaches, was asking about how will be Tumba, how is this atmosphere? And when the coach of Frankfurt made a little bit walk inside the pitch, he said, oh, maybe now it's empty because it was the day before, mm-hmm. but I feel chillings in my hand because I feel this atmosphere already.
Mm.
It's a stadium who can melt every opponent. It's a stadium who Diego Armando Maradona, for me, the best football in history, the best footballer in history, said it's a stadium that I couldn't play.
Wow.
Yes.
No pressure then, lads, when you travel to Greece in November. But yeah, I think, you know, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to travel to Greece. But
I will send you videos to see.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we'll be seeing plenty of videos. And I think you're right. You know, you can see and hear an atmosphere on TV, but I don't think you fully appreciate it until you're there in person. And I think, you know, we've sold just shy of our allocation of 1,400 tickets. So I'm sure those that are traveling to Greece will give a good account of themselves and try and reciprocate some sort of atmosphere, but it might be difficult to hear them with the vociferous support that you guys offer. But Manos, thank you very much for your time and in giving us a really interesting insight into what PAOK can do to Aberdeen on Thursday and what we can expect from them. And I hope you have a safe trip to Aberdeen and enjoy your time here. I just hope that you don't get the victory on Thursday.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was a pleasure to be there. I wish for the victory of PAOK, of course. And I wish to see you and everyone in Aberdeen in some days from now.
Yes, we'll meet up and we'll have a beer before the game. That sounds good.
Of course.
So, Callum, excited or slightly tapered after listening to that?
Slightly tapered. tapered.
Just a little.
Say the least.
So much quality in that team.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying not to. We've got quality in our team. We know what our boys can do. However, I am slightly less confident about a special European night at Pataudry, but we can but dream. And I'm just excited for their fans being over. It should be a real, real good atmosphere. We're hungry after not playing at the weekend, and we need to put things right.
We do. And I do take slight confidence, although, as I said on that piece, slight worry from the fact that they can't defend the near post, which just screams long throw after long throw. But if they can't defend the near post, it goes back to what we said in that chat before, hearing from Manos, is we need to be clinical and, as a bare minimum, be beating that first man, getting the ball into the box.
Absolutely. Not only from set pieces, I suppose. My frustration against Helsinki and St Johnstone was it took us too long to work it out wide. And by that time we were ready to put the ball in the box, they were just all set up, ready to defend, very, very structured and organised. We need to be a little bit quicker, a little bit more direct in our play. Don't let them get set up. Get the ball in behind them rather than every single thing being in front of them like it seemed to be in sort of the last couple of games.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, hungry is a great word to use. Hungry is certainly what we are feeling towards this game without having the game at the weekend. And I'm sure Pauk are hungry to continue their 100% record in the group. Hopefully we can end that. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you've been tuning in for a while, or if you're a Pauk fan listening to our thoughts, we hope you enjoyed as well. And enjoy your visit to Aberdeen and the game itself on Thursday. We'll be back with another episode at the end of the week, looking back at the events of the game on Thursday night and taking a look ahead to Sunday's trip to Rugby Park. So if you're new to the channel, remember to leave a like on YouTube video and subscribe to the channel as well. Or if you're listening on audio, make sure you follow us wherever you're tuning in. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Sports Social Podcast Network.